My goal this morning is very simple. I just want to magnify the ministry of children and young adults and youth and the next generation this morning. I want to remind and refresh us of this calling that we have been given, that it is a privilege to be able to teach and train children and young people in the way to walk in the ways of the Lord. That's a calling which is almost the very beginning of the book of Deuteronomy. We have been given the challenge of teaching our kids how to love the Lord with all of heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that comes through not just weekly teaching, but hourly teaching. The Bible says, talk about these truths when you're walking in the way, and when you're sitting at home, and when you rise up, and when you lie down. Which means, parents, we are to be teaching our kids to love the Lord all the time. At all times and in every ways, we're to be making connections between our faith and the world that we're living in. And I'm praying today that So, for example, how many of you, when the class started with A, and they did a verse, and then they sang a song, and then did B, and a verse, and a song, how many of you thought, good grief, we'll be here all day if we go to Z? I did. I knew they weren't, but the thought occurred to me. What is resident within us that we belittle children? If among us are attitudes which think like that and then find their expression in our actions, that's a problem. And we need to repent of it. And I want us to move away from it. Why? Because of this verse that we see right here this morning. The disciples felt the same way. When children were coming to Jesus, what did they do? They prevented them. Jesus, stop it. They don't have time. And so Jesus is busy, right? That attitude is resident within us. We don't have time for little kids. I'm just sitting here praying and thinking this morning, why do we only do this once a year? Is that enough? How many of you know the first 11 verses of Matthew chapter 5? Right? These little guys in front of us are a wonderful example to us. And yet, we barely give them the time of day, don't we? So I felt very convicted as I sat with this passage. And if you're new here the first time, we have been going through teachings of Jesus and phrases that he had said. And it's often he says some pretty amazing things. There are two in this morning's reading. The first thing that I find striking is when Jesus says to his disciples, let the children come to me. It was a correction. It was a rebuke. And the next thing that I find striking about what Jesus has said is he says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. That is staggering. I'm going to read it one more time. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child, shall not enter it. Those two statements capture my attention. And I want us to be a church that allows our children to be trained and molded. Children are not acolytes to be kept on the wall of the church. The book of Proverbs says they're arrows that are to be sharpened and sent out into the world for the glory of God and the good of man. To do creative things, to study finance, and to study all kinds of things, and to study what we don't yet know. Right? We're to use the minds that God has given us to make this world a better place. How many of you, when you were 16 or 18, you wanted to change the world? Right? How many of you did? Raise your hand. You thought, I want to do something significant and magnificent, make this world a better place. Right? This is the encouragement and the excitement of youth. And how do we, as a church, are we able to mold that and shape that in the growing up and the unfolding of little lives? We have an invitation here today, a wonderful invitation that I want to invite you to pray into. How can you participate in shaping and molding the next generation. I want us to be a church that loves the next generation. And by that I mean nursery and school-age children, grade school, young children, older children, and youth. It's young adults, right? All the way through the collegiate age group. That's the next generation. And we have been given a challenge to communicate the gospel to the next generation in such a way that the transmission of the gospel can accurately be handed down. Paul says, train up another generation who can faithfully handle the word. I want Reuben Walter, when he goes off to college, to be so grounded in his faith that when he gets to that first semester philosophy class, and there's one instructor whose intention it is to destroy the faith of Reuben Walter, he's going to a Christian school, so hopefully you won't encounter this. But we have, right? There are those professors who are intent on ridding you of all faith because it's childish and ancient, right? It's an old, archaic form of life that we believe, as professors believe, we need to rid you from the faith of your parents. Parents, I hope we can well enough transfer the faith and teach the faith to our children so that they love it themselves. Right? So that they can survive. I remember being terrified by going into that first semester of philosophy class. With fear and trembling, I went into that class because I had heard horror stories of people who were devastated in their faith because they got in, heard things, studied things, and their faith was shredded. I went into that first philosophy class and loved it. I actually had fun. And I was like, is this what you got? This does not destroy my faith. It simply deepens my faith. So I wound up majoring in philosophy. But I'm a weirdo, so it doesn't matter. But parents, every one of you in this church, no matter what age group you are, can you come alongside kids, nursery workers, right? We need help from nursery. Did you see the text here? Parents, people were bringing children to Jesus, even infants, it says. That's what verse 15 says. Now they were bringing even infants to Jesus. This is our calling. It is to help our kids. It is to help the next generation find their way to Jesus. That's what we are called to do. That is the message of the day. How are we going to do that as a church? As a church family, how are we going to help our kids from infants all the way till they're graduating and off on their own? How are we going to help them find their way to Jesus? You know, we have people who have been serving for decades in particular areas of ministry in this church. And some of them are tired. They love serving. They love teaching. And yet it's time for some to have a break. Right, there's already two teachers who have been teaching for more than 7 years and have said, I want to take a break in the fall. Can I take a break? And what do you say? Nope, you're in this position. You'll be here till you die. That's not our goal. So I'm inviting you. I want all of you to think and pray. How can I serve? How can I jump in and help? If you're here and you love Jesus and you're not finding a place of service, we need help. We need help in the nursery, right, Liz? Over the summer, people travel, go on vacation. A very easy way you can serve is to help out in the nursery. And evidently, it is not insignificant in the eyes of Jesus. The disciples wanted to stop everyone from coming to Jesus, right? They were pushing parents away. And parents have little babies, and they're bringing them to Jesus. And Jesus said, let them come. It's okay. So even nursery work is not insignificant in the eyes of Jesus. I'm sure the disciples thought, Jesus is about changing the world. He is not going to be changing any diapers. Right? That is above, it's below him. He's far above that little task. And what does Jesus say? He calls a huddle with the disciples and he rebukes them and he says, guys, cut it out. Let the kids come to me. And one of the Gospels tells us that Jesus takes them up in his arms and blesses them. Jesus grabs little kids, he picks them up, he holds them, he prays for them, and he blesses them and sends them on their way. Parents, if you could deliver your child into the arms of Jesus for a little prayer of blessing, wouldn't you do it? Guarantee you would. And how many of us find ourselves in the way of the disciples thinking, we don't have time for that. It'll be boring. We can't do a children's service. There'll be guests there and they'll never come back. How many of us think those kinds of things? How many of us think, I don't want to teach babies. I don't want to mess with diapers. That's messy. It's for somebody else. And especially you guys think that, right? How many of you, there are fathers who have never changed a diaper. That's unbelievable to me. I've met one or two of them. Shocking. We ought to be able to jump right in. Maybe you're one of them. I don't know. We'll have a fight after church maybe. But right? We ought to be able to do anything we can to help cultivate a love of Jesus in our children, in the next generation. I'm praying we have a passion for the next generation. I'm praying there will be dads, there will be young adults, there will be men who have never served. Will say, I'll take a Sunday in the nursery, or I'll teach a class. You know, that was the first time when I was discerning God's will for my life in college. I was a sophomore in college, and I began to feel that God was calling me to ministry. I went to my pastor and explained what my feelings were, and he said, are you telling me you think you're being called to preach? I was like, no, not preach. I'm not a preacher. That's kind of funny. But I said some area of ministry, and I want to get involved. And I said, where can I serve? And he said, we need a teacher for the 7th and 8th grade boys. Okay, that's what I did. That's where I started. I started teaching the 7th and 8th grade boys. You can jump in. Anybody at any age, if you love Jesus and you're willing to learn, you can jump in and help us cultivate a love of Jesus in the next generation. And we need teachers. It's an easy place to serve, guys. Anybody can help, and everybody can easily jump into this place. So when the disciples start pushing away parents with infants and children, Jesus says, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. Well, how many of you had significant people in your life who helped you in your relationship with Jesus? You have mentors, or you had somebody that just came along aside of you. What would it be like? We tried this once about 8 years ago, where we tried to pair adults with high schoolers in order to establish a mentoring program. And it worked for a little while, but then it kind of faded. What if once again we had enough adults who could come alongside all of our high schoolers, enough women? We need help women in the youth ministry. Right? There's always a cry for young ladies or women to help out in the youth ministry. We need help. So this is an easy place where we can jump in to serve. If the Lord moves your heart, I invite you, pray about what I'm saying this morning. Pray about our attitude towards kids. I think every one of us ought to delight as much in all 5 or 6 or 8 of those little guys standing in front of us as if we were their parents. Right? Parents, they're the ones down here with videos, taking pictures, and all the rest of us are like, okay, I'll just get out of the way. What if we all delighted as much in this little display of memorization and scripture as if those kids, if we thought of them as our own kids? Wouldn't that be a great church to be a part of? Wouldn't you want your kids coming here and being blessed by people who love them? Pray with me that we would be that kind of church, that we would be a church who love kids and do not hinder them in any way from falling in love with Jesus. Because Jesus said, let them come to me, do not hinder them. And here it is, for to such belong the kingdom of God. Now that's an interesting statement, isn't it? What does that mean? To such belong the kingdom of God. Well, just before this passage, Jesus tells a parable. I think what he's saying is you have to be like a child in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the example that Jesus uses just before this tells us two things about how what we can learn from children and what it takes to enter the kingdom of God. If you go, you don't have this on the screen, but if you look back in verse 9, Jesus tells a parable of a Pharisee and a tax collector. They both go to the temple to pray. The Pharisee stands up in front of the church, the temple, and he says, man, I thank God that I'm not like the wicked sinner tax collector over in the corner. Thank you, God. I fast every day. I give money. I tithe. I do community service. I have lots of things that I do for which, God, you ought to be impressed about me. The tax collector who was off in the corner, he wouldn't even lift his head up. He bows his head and he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He was broken. He knew he needed help. One of the things children know, when they need help, they'll ask anybody. You ever been, there's this little kid the other day in the store. He couldn't reach the Snickers bar, and I'm passing by. He goes, can you get that for me? Like, I think you better talk to your mom or dad, right? So little kids ask for help. Jesus says at the end of verse 14, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other, the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Kids are humble. Children are often used by Jesus. He picks up children in order to use as an illustration of humility. When we need help, kids ask for it. How many of us? We'll stay stranded on the side of the road for 6 days and refuse to ask for help. We don't want to ask for help, and yet children will. Children will cry out for help. Being humble is required for you to enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you're not humble enough to look up to Jesus and ask for help, both in salvation and sanctification, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the other thing that we learn is Jesus told this parable because there were people who trusted in their own righteousness. This is what Jesus says in verse 9. He told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. The second thing to learn, not only from children, we can learn their humility, but we can learn trust. We're not righteous. Little children don't possess any righteousness. They're completely dependent. They have nothing to give. They're complete retakers, right? They're absolutely helpless. We need to learn, as it stands in relation to salvation, we are completely helpless in order to save ourselves. And so God gives us little children to remind us that's a picture of salvation. And it's amazing because sometimes children have difficulties and they're weak, or sometimes children are born with diseases or defects or challenges. And what are we told? We need to get rid of those guys, right? Anybody who has ever been pregnant, and if there's any advanced testing that would indicate that there's a genetic defect, you're going to get the counsel to abort. I've heard it again and again and again from people. And we have seen people walk through it being blessed by those little people who come into the world. Why? They're God's reminders that you need to be saved by someone else, not you. They're a little picture of salvation. We cannot save ourselves. Thank God for the parents who persevere with years of difficulty with children who struggle with defects and deformities. They remind us we are dependent upon God completely for salvation. And yet we think, like this man in this parable, we're trusting in our own righteousness. I'm okay. Yeah, I look pretty good. I'm doing well. God knows how much money I've given, or he knows all the hours I've given. None of that will commend anyone to God for salvation. We need to come like a little child, completely dependent to Jesus, looking for help for salvation, and then be humble enough to ask for it. And so, to such belongs the kingdom of God. There are lessons we can learn from little people. And the disciples could easily belittle the little people. Jesus doesn't have time for them. Keep them away. He's too busy. He's doing change the world kind of stuff. Well, I want to say there's glory in the change the diaper kind of stuff. I want every one of us to love changing diapers. I want every one of us to love the hard days of cultivating Christ in little people. And I mean little physical people and also little people spiritually in the Lord. This goes both ways. right? We need to help those who are young in the faith and sit with all the questions that we wrestled through and patiently listen and cultivate discipleship. Paul says, he uses the analogy of a midwife. I'm coming alongside of you, agonizing with you in the birth pains until Christ is formed in you. How many of us come alongside people who are struggling with their faith, agonizing with them until Christ is formed in them? That's what we need as a church at every level. That's what teachers do. We agonize to help Christ be formed. How many of you would be blessed by having somebody come alongside you to help make sure that your faith is formed and grown? That's why we teach. That's why we have classes. But primarily today, I want our hearts to be moved towards the next generation, from diapers in the nursery to graduation and sending them off, and not begrudge those moments when we mark significant events in their lives. I don't want any of us to begrudge, oh, good grief, I got to listen to those kids sing again? I don't ever want that thought to cross our minds. So, would you receive an invitation? Would you listen and say, God, is it wrong? Am I like the disciples here? Is this me? Let's keep all the kids away. The big people, that's who we want to focus on. They're the givers. They can produce stuff. Or can we be happy to say, little dependent people, I'm happy to sit with them. I'm happy to cultivate Christ in them. We don't want to hinder anyone from coming to Christ. We want to let little people come to Christ, young in their faith, as well as young in life. We want to be able to be used by God to help kids of all ages to fall in love with Jesus. And that final verse, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. Folks, I don't want anybody to miss the kingdom of God. Are you humble enough to look to Jesus for salvation? And are you content enough to be completely dependent on somebody else to give you that salvation? Will you come to Jesus and ask? That goes for salvation and sanctification. We never outgrow dependency upon Jesus. We never outgrow that. That never changes. We are constantly dependent upon the Spirit of God within us to cultivate Christ-like life within us. That's why we get together every week. That's why we listen and teach and encourage one another. And that's our call. So I have two requests for you. Number one, does your heart need a little renovation in your attitudes towards kids, to the next generation? And number two, are you willing to jump in and help? Liz, how long have you been to the nursery? She can't even remember it's been so long. She loves it. But wouldn't it be nice if there were three people to replace her? Not that we want to replace you. Not that I don't want you. She loves helping with kids. But you could use some help, right? I wish we had more people than any need that we have. That would be a wonderful problem, and Ian would just get all over that, right? Trying to figure out where he could put you to work. But I want us to be a church that loves cultivating spiritual life in the next generation. So please pray. And remember these graduates. You guys know what it's like to go off and away. Remember those challenges. I would invite you to please commit them to prayer. And don't let them pass out of your mind. We got some who are home from school, and we're so glad you are. We're still praying for you guys too, by the way. Don't feel left out. And yet, would you commit to pray? We need people who will pray. If you're at home, you can't move, you're struggling with health, or you can't get out and serve, you can't teach, the body doesn't work anymore to run around with the youth group from 7 to 10 every Friday night, you can pray, can't you? We need prayers also. So I invite you, figure out, how am I going to get involved in cultivating spiritual life in the next generation, whether it's praying for them, whether it's actually teaching them. So would you join me in prayer?